motherfucking K, homeboy. A to the motherfucking K. A to the motherfucking K, homeboy. A to the motherfucking K.
If you're ready, we'll move on to segment two, Carl.
Yes.
We'll move on to the ringside report. I've got a few little bits here. Not all massive news, but things I just wanted to moan about for the most, I'll be honest. So first one, I just want to moan about the recently advertised Becky's new t-shirt, which is Becky 365. Again, firstly, slogan, smacks of Austin 316. They keep pushing the Becky Lynch-Austin connection. Don't know why. She's not Austin. She never will be Austin. She's her own person. That's what I don't get with this. She's trying to be the man and she's trying to, you know, push women's industry, but then trying to emulate Austin so much. It's like, well, shouldn't you be a strong woman? Shouldn't you be your own thing? But nevertheless, they've brought out this shirt. And the big issue I've got with the shirt is the fact that it's literally orange text on a black shirt that says Becky 365. And they want to charge 25 English pounds. Sorry to our American listeners, I'm not converting that. For a piss poor t-shirt, basically. There's no style. So at least Austin's had the skull on the back. This has fuck all. It's just an awful shirt. It's a really lazy design team. I could have designed that. I could probably make it for a lot fucking less as well. But yeah, it just an odd thing to release, and not a lot of thoughts come into it. And I wanted to moan about the 316 nod as well.
Yeah.
Then this one is not strictly wrestling related, but I found it interesting. Vince McMahon is currently being sued for wrongful termination, and this is in relation to the XFL. So the person he hired as the commissioner for the XFL, Oliver Luck, I believe his name was, he was it's the contract he had with the XFL to be the commissioner was to the tune of about $25 million by all accounts. But the contract apparently stated that he would receive the full amount even if he was to be terminated without cause. So as long as it wasn't his fault, he's getting the money. And apparently that's not happened. So the XFL have filed Chapter 11. He's now dismissed, and it was not by any cause of his, so he's suing them because he should be entitled to the money. And if what is to be believed about the contract is to be believed, then yeah, he is entitled to the money. And that was the contract.
That's a few more people getting fucking laid off then.
It certainly is. Got to make $25 million now. That was just a nice little sort of update on the chaos that is the money side of the McMahons. Got a bit of a sad one, sadly. That's we had Jack Lotz. I don't know if you remember the name, Carl, but he was a referee for the WWE, well, back when it was WWF, actually. Sadly, he passed away at the age of 86. The reason, or one of the main reasons this is newsworthy, is that he is the first notable person to have passed away of the COVID-19 complications in connection to the WWE, that is. So that's a bit of sad news, unfortunately. Do you remember Jack Lotz? I know it's hard to remember the referees because their job is to sort of stay in the background, really. But
yeah, I think he was very early. I think he refereed the Piper Mr. T boxing match at WrestleMania.
Right, so we're talking way back when.
So yeah. like WrestleMania 2 times. So I don't think he was there for that much longer after that. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, at 86 years of age, like you say, it must have been considerably some time ago. And it's always sad when things like these happen, and especially sad that it's sadly due to the COVID-19 situation. But again, just to pay a bit of respect to Jack Lotz as well. Then we have another former WWE ref, Jimmy Corderas, and you can actually see this on his Twitter if anyone's interested. But he's got connections with the business still, despite being a former referee, and he's aware of what has been booked for the Money in the Bank, this corporate ladder booking. And he's basically said that this has very likely possibilities that it's going to be a train wreck. He said it could work, but he feels like they should have stayed, rather than trying to be outside the box, that this is one time that they should have stayed inside the box, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. It's better to probably watch his video on Twitter, but he's sort of nodding towards the fact that what they've got planned might not be that good, or it might be a bit too out there. So that's a bit of a worry for Money in the Bank, really. Did you see the video at all?
No, I'm not. I mean, I've not seen the video.
Anything away about the actual booking itself, but
I mean, if you think about it, if they got to climb the corporate ladder, I'm guessing it's going to be like, what's that fucking was that film, The Raid or something, where they've got to get the way up, you know, all the way down and out. I feel like it's going to be like that, but the opposite. They're going to start at the bottom, have to climb up a load of stairs and obviously give you the guided tour of WWE headquarters, make the way onto the roof and then climb a ladder. This does sound very, I don't know. It's not, obviously, why fuck up the money in the back? It's Money in the Bank. It's one of the
best pay-per-views. Just sticking with your standard matchup, it's still a decent pay-per-view to watch. So, yeah. I don't know. Very, let's all watch with a bit of nervousness, eh?
Fucking, I know, yeah. Imagine someone falls off.
Mm. So I'll move on to the next one, and we kind of talked about this earlier, but it's more in relation to the follow-up of it, and that's the infamous Nia Jax botch with Kairi Sane on Raw. The reason I've put it in the Ringside Report is because she subsequently tweeted in relation to that, essentially trying to suggest it as a work, trying to use it. And I just sort of wanted to mention it in the sense that we're both, I think, in agreement that it definitely was not a work, that it was definitely a botch and a bad botch at that. So how do you feel about the fact that she's trying to sort of use that storyline-wise or use that as a work and make it seem like it was deliberate?
I just think she's a bitch.
Okay. I don't think it's... I'm never a fan of this sort of stuff. I understand when real life bleeds over. Like, obviously, we had, like, Edge and Matt was very real because of the real life stuff that was going on with Lita. But when you've accidentally nearly hurt someone badly, you don't use that sort of stuff, and it just seems a bit insensitive. We'll see going forward. I mean, Kairi might have signed off on it. We don't actually know whether they've had a conversation and she's gone, yeah, we'll fucking roll with it. I don't know. Kairi Sane's looking for the door, so I doubt she'll be looking at me putting good stories together.
Yeah, at the end of the end of the match, I'm pretty sure you can lip read her say to the ref, oh, is she okay? Or something like that. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. There's no way it was planned. I think it's just more shocking behaviour from Nia, yeah. Just not respecting people enough to just make them safe.
What I will say on it is, obviously, Nia putting a tweet out doesn't mean that WWE are going to run with it. So it'll be interesting to see whether they do try and run something from it or whether they just try and ignore the botch and crack on. Because I can't see WWE signing off on using it for a story. The next one I want to mention, do you remember a diva called Amy Webber?
Yes.
Good. This makes it a lot easier. So basically, she's come out recently saying about some of the factors for her leaving the WWE were the fact that she was being bullied. And two of the people she's named as bullies, one of them I'm not surprised at, and one of them I'm very surprised at, being Randy Orton and Edge. Now, Orton has got a history of being a dick, right?
Oh, yeah.
To his own admission. But from what I understand of Edge, he's always been quite an affable guy. I've not heard a lot of criticism of him being a... You might disagree there, Carl. You probably know more about that sort of stuff than I do. But I've not heard a lot on Edge being a bad guy or being a bully in any capacity in the back area with other stars. But to give you a bit of story to it, what she's suggesting is she's, for some reason, connecting it to... I'll clarify. She needed some painkillers or whatever. So she was told to go into the men's locker room and get some aspirin or ibuprofen or whatever she needed. And then she's alleging that Randy Orton took umbrage to that. And I believe she was like sort of on a plane, sort of lying across a few seats. And then Orton's come over and sort of shook the seats and tried to have a go at her. And then that's sort of been diffused. And then she's had a drink thrown on her. And then when she's looked up, Edge is stood there with a half empty drink that was the exact same drink, but was denying that he did it, and she's utterly convinced that he did. And that's the sort of bullying she was getting from them. How do you feel about that sort of story? Because I'm quite surprised at the Edge side of it more than anything. I'd be surprised if either of them were bullying a woman, to be honest. It seems burly bloke, but Randy Orton, again, I mean, we've had suggestions that he's sort of defecated in people's bags and stuff before now. So,
well, exactly, yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's I don't know whether he still does this, probably not anymore, but he was like one of the worst for it. Like, he would shit in people's bags and he would do terrible, terrible things, Orton. So that one, I believe. Edge, I've not heard anything like that about him. But to be fair, he's one of the originals, and you know, he's there for the times like Wrestler Court and stuff like that. I heard a story the other day around you know, the Fink, who's also passed away quite recently. Mm-hmm. Someone was telling a story about him in Wrestler Court, where he was meant to get a slap from one of the divas, and he flinched before he got slapped. Obviously, he's not a trained, you know, wrestler, so he's kind of just naturally flinched. And so he got put into wrestler court for that, and like the verdict was he has to happen again. He has to get slapped, and he can't flinch, and he flinched again. So like they berated him, bullied him to the point where he was like in tears. You know what I mean? And it's like it's like a really old school, like, and you can imagine the people who, so obviously Undertaker used to be the judge because he's been there the longest, but basically the people that would, you know, pass out the sentences and be like, you know, horrible and stuff like that, but it's like the likes of JBL and people, you know, people who are just dickheads anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, people who, you know, enjoy, they're just there because they enjoy being dickheads.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I've never heard a bad word said about Edge, but when you think about it, he's been there from day dot, so he's probably been involved in these things.
Yeah,
I believe Christian's meant to be a prick.
Really?
So yeah, so
they're
if you
like
think
best
about
friends,
it,
aren't they?
So if you think about it, two of Edge's closest friends are Randy Orton, you know, Team RKO, and fucking Christian. So it wouldn't, you know,
right,
doesn't
yeah.
seem like impossible. But yeah, I've not heard anything.
Yeah, it seems odd that it's coming out now as well. Not to discredit Amy Webber, if she went through that, I feel sorry for her. You know, no one should have to be a victim of bullying. But you know, where she was released years ago, this happened years ago, and she's sort of saying about it now, right after they've had a big match and Edge's comeback match. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It might be why it's more relevant now, I suppose, but just seems a strange time. And for it, like, you think that'd have been a bigger story back when she left, you know, like when most wrestlers leave, they moan straight away. Look at John Moxley, he complained about WWE straight away and his reasons for leaving. So the timing seems a little bit off for me, but again, I'm not saying that she never went through it by any means, but just seems odd that it took years for this to be a story, especially for what she suggested happened. You know, wouldn't have been an issue saying about it at the time. So moving on, I was going to moan about the Drake Maverick being awake, but I think we covered that thoroughly enough. So this is the one I wanted you to keep Rey Mysterio and MVP in the back of your mind for.
Okay.
So Vince McMahon was asked about the drop in ratings on Raw specifically, but you know, on for WWE in general, and he has stated his reasons for the ratings being low. It's nothing to do with COVID-19. It's to do with new talent rather than the empty arena, and it's hard to push new talents, and they have to get themselves over. And basically said it's the lack of the likes of Brock Lesnar. And the reason I wanted to keep Rey Mysterio and MVP back in your mind is, you know, there's plenty of not new talent there, plenty of not new talent going over other people as well. So is it truly the lack of Brock Lesnar that's, you know, not making people tune into Raw or keep watching Raw? It seems an odd thing to not ignore. I mean, it does feel strange in the empty arena. So I don't get why he's trying to push away from that fact. It's not the worst thing in the world to say. Yeah, it's probably affected our ratings. But that's a suggestion that the ratings are low because of the new talent. A lot of this, I mean, for the last 3 weeks, Raw has been quite heavy on the NXT talent coming up. But even so, there's still plenty of big names there.
Yeah,
how do you feel?
I mean, it's one of them. I can't fully disagree with him because, as I've just said in the when I've been reviewing Raw, is I feel it's a massive lack of star power. Mm. But that being said, I don't want, you know, if he's saying it's because Drew's champion instead of Brock, that's bullshit because that isn't the case. Because Drew is over. But if you think about it, who do you tune into Raw for now? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing. I mean, if it weren't for Drew, you wouldn't really need to watch it.
Exactly. So, you know, you've got like a really diminished roster with a lack of star power in an empty arena with storylines like fucking Bobby Lashley and Lana and flipping tires and the Viking Raiders doing carpool karaoke. And, you know what I mean? I don't think it's the lack of fucking you know, Brock Lesnar. I think it's just shit programming.
Yeah, I agree. And again, without harping on and being a fanboy, AEW have proved that you can do it in certain ways and it still works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so interesting one. That's Vince's perception on it anyway. keeping with Vince McMahon, he was asked about the whole situation with the empty arena and sort of live matches and arena matches and that going forward. And I do agree with him on this point, actually. He said it's probably going to be a long time before, even when the restrictions are lifted, be a long time before people are comfortable with going to an arena setting again. He thinks there's going to be a lot of reluctance for that sort of mass gatherings for how long that you've had to avoid it for. And because of that, they're not sure if or when WWE will go back to running live arena settings. That is something I agree with. I think people probably will be a bit reluctant at first, a bit cautious at first. But the fact that there was a suggestion there that it's like, well, you know, we don't know when we're going to go back to it, is like, well, I'm not being funny. You're not doing a great job of not having the live arena setting. So it's a bit of a concern that there doesn't seem to be any rush to do it. Like, he almost thinks like they're handling it really well, but the ratings are dropping and there's a lot of awkward dead air moments. So how do you feel about that comment?
I mean, I get it, because you know, I do agree that the whole live event thing isn't going to be that feasible, as you know, for quite a while. But if we're being honest, the live event business, you know, hadn't been generating the same level of profits it once did for WWE. So if you think about it, all the touring that they're having to do, and the expenses, and transferring kit and everything to do, you know, they're keeping these guys on the road for like fucking 300 days a year.
Yeah,
you know. It's. I don't think it's a bad move, to be honest. If there's any kind of shining light from this, is that I don't think they should be on the road like fucking 5 days of the week. So I think they should still do them, but just a lot, you know, a lot less.
Yeah, totally agree. I was just about to say that, because I think there's still a place for it, in a sense of like you and me as fans, when they come to the UK and we've been to their shows, you lose your shit, don't you? You're like, yes, this is awesome. You get to see them in person. So there's still a reason to tour. There's still a reason to do these live events. But this could be a nice way of sort of backstepping, like you say, from a more frequent thing. So I think you've hit the nail on the head there. That abolishing it completely probably wouldn't be the one, but certainly use it as an opportunity to maybe reduce the amount they do. And we can see that it can work from the performance center. Just maybe they need to refine how they do things. But yeah, I like the way you think. I'll move on to this one's. It's not a pleasant topic, but it's certainly been noted in the news this week. There's suggestion, and I'll state right now that the Velveteen Dream does deny these allegations, but there's been suggestion that he has allegedly been sending pictures of himself to a man, I believe he was a 17-year-old boy, and Dream has come out and said that he totally denies it, that I think the pictures were of him, but he wasn't the one who sent it, and it's got leaked out somehow or whatever, and this kid's ended up with it, and the accusation's been made. And obviously, we live in a world of innocent until proven guilty, but naturally, there's quite a visceral reaction to this. So I noted this. This wasn't something that came from like me reading the news or anything like that. This come from I was on Twitter on Friday night while SmackDown was on, just having a little nosy at the hashtag SmackDown. And somebody had put on there saying basically that trying to do the whole cancel WWE sort of thing until they sack Dream, which, you know, I don't want to go into defending him now because we don't know the full thingy of it. But at the same time, if the man's innocent, you know, going after him now when nobody knows all the facts is, you know, you could end up turning around and going, oh, I wish we hadn't have done that. I wish we hadn't have lynched him. But nevertheless, it's quite a serious suggestion. And I sincerely hope it's not true. But yeah, have you seen anything of this? I believe it was noted in the Bleacher Report. If anyone wants to look at it online, but
I saw some stuff on Reddit about it. I think there was, you know, there's the allegations of him sending pictures, which he has confirmed are pictures of him. He thinks someone has gained access to that picture somehow, and then distributed it without his knowledge or permission. And then there was also a voice recording, whether it is of him or not of him, but. You can hear him basically ask which school do you go to, but I don't think that you can jump to conclusions about that anyway, because you know, in America they'll say, oh, what school? That could be university. You know,
that's
what I mean?
The thing.
Be wrestling school. It could be. You know what I mean? There's
loads of forms of higher education that you could still be referring to school, but not in that does not conclusively prove that he was interacting with a minor. Don't be wrong, it adds credence to the allegation, sadly, and the pictures, but like you say, that recording could have been taken out of context, so I'll take your point on that.
Well, I think he said he's enlisted a third party to act on his behalf throughout all this, so interesting to see. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to judge.
Obviously we're not here to judge. But do you think you could potentially see WWE maybe distancing themselves from Dream for the next few weeks, or until it's all done, maybe not have him on TV as much or whatever? We've seen them react to stuff in the past in that sort of way.
I don't ever know if the stuff that happened with Enzo Amore was ever officially confirmed and he got sacked.
Yeah. Dream is quite a big draw to NXT, so it would be, they couldn't really sack him without it being massively noticed. But like you say, we've seen them react like that before now. Thing is, the reality of it, it might be a bit unfair saying this, and I don't know, I don't even know what the Enzo suggestions were, if I'm honest with you, but what you have all your court side of things or whatever, but these people, they travel the road with each other, they all know each other. I imagine when whatever's come out about Enzo has come out, they've felt it was true enough to go, yeah, sack him. For whatever reason, and again, that is purely speculation on my part. I don't know what the allegation was, and I don't know what the actual reason was, but you imagine that they must make some sort of judgment themselves before they do that. So it's not necessarily to say that they will do that with Dream, but I take your point. That's probably one of the closest examples. And yeah, they could do something like that, or certainly put him, because weirdly, we've seen him not related in terms of allegation, but we've seen WWE protect people as well. We've seen, do you remember, who was he? He's not even that big a wrestler, but in terms of booking stature, he is. What was his name? He was accused of being racist quite recently, and he never really got it. He just sort of got put in the background for a while. I believe he's still signed with them. God, that's going to bug me now. I can't remember his name.
But, was it Lars Sullivan?
Thank you very much, Lars Sullivan. Yeah, he got the adult. And that wasn't even like accusations. It was proven. They saw his... all the stuff he was saying. They proved conclusively that he was a racist piece of shit, but kept him. So we've seen them protect people before now. So I don't know. I'd be interested to see how WWE approach it, because it is a very sensitive issue, you know?
Yeah. Weird.
So moving on. This is an odd one. I didn't realise this. It's not something I'd noticed before until I read this bit. But the headline or the news article I read was Cody Rhodes getting his name back. Now, apparently, and I'd never picked up on this before, but he always usually gets referred to as Cody, or the American Nightmare Cody, but never gets called Cody Rhodes. And this was apparently he's said that ultimately he could use his name, but WWE trademarked Cody Rhodes, and it wasn't sort of it when he was on the Indies, when he was doing New Japan and that, it was simpler to just avoid it. And for him, he said that, you know, he obviously loves his dad, he loves his family, but it was almost useful really to build a name that isn't associated with the Rhodes family, to be Cody on its own sort of thing. So he didn't rely on the Rhodes name. So he never had any issue not using it. But yeah, I wasn't aware that they trademarked his name. And the reason it's been noted is that they let the trademark expire, and he's sort of been made aware of that and trademarked it himself. So he can now, as far as a trademark, as far as a merchandise and booking point of view, he can now use his name. Fantastic, then he can use his name.
I think his real name is I think the Runnels family, aren't they? So I think he's Cody Runnels, but I don't think that would have sounded, you know, obviously everyone knows Dusty Rhodes.
There was almost a bit of a confusing legal thing with that, where I think it was more down to profit. Like, they couldn't stop him from using the name Rhodes because it was notable in his family, but he couldn't sort of market it, I think is how it was kind of was. Now he's feel free to do whatever he wants with it, but I think they couldn't have released a Rhodes t-shirt or anything like that for Cody, because then that would have been profiting off a name that had been trademarked by WWE. But now he's free to do whatever the fuck he wants with it, basically. But I don't think they were ever actually allowed, as long as he weren't making a profit from it, I don't think they were ever allowed to stop him anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gets confusing when they try and do all that with names. Pisses me off, to be honest, because it's like, well, you're not going to use it anyway. Why are you going to keep his name for?
Yeah, I was going to say, at least they actually let this one expire and didn't continue to renew it, because that would have been a bullshit move.
Oh, yeah, it would have definitely been a scumbag tactic, but we've seen it, like, silly things. They had that similar debate with Ryback, didn't they, where it was like, no, Ryback's our name. It's like,
yeah,
you're never going to use it again. You're not. I say that we've seen them use the name Diesel again, so I wouldn't put it past WWE. But at the same time, you know, they just trademark shit for no reason half the time. Right, and then the last one I've got is I noticed the last couple of weeks we've not seen Sami Zayn. Now I've read that this was due to him having oral surgery. Okay, but along with that, there was comments that creative find him to be a difficult person, that he's got a bit of backstage heat and he has a tendency to stir up the locker room. And currently they're having difficulty finding a sort of role or story for him, which is worrying for the IC title holder to be in that position. But what do you make of the suggestion that Zayn might be a bit of a difficult member backstage?
Interesting, really. I'd never would have thought that to be the case. I don't know whether it's being built up out of frustration of not being used very well, you know, in the time
he's been. You could understand that, to be honest. You could understand him being frustrated.
He has been out injured quite a lot as well. So, you know, he's come back, he's been a mouthpiece, and then they've let him win the IC title. So I don't know what more he could want, really. But
I mean, they're going to have to use him again now because he's got the IC title and needs to be dropped somehow. So even if they were pissed off with him, you know, he's the title holder. So they're going to have to put him back in the picture somewhere. But like currently, the IC title or Sami Zayn aren't booked on the Money in the Bank. So that pay-per-view is not going to have an IC title match so far. So it's just, again, I hate when the IC title and the US title just drop into obscurity like that. Does nothing for the belt.
It's awful, really. it's really disrespectful.
I know you've got a, well, that's the thing, you've got a personal affinity for the IC title specifically. This was the workers' belt. So yeah. Seeing the state of it these days can't be good for your car. Must be
off that. Ever since they unveiled that title design, it means nothing to me now.
Yeah. It's dead to me now.
It's like who wants to carry around that monstrosity? It doesn't mean what it used to mean. It used to be wrestling history and wrestling heritage, and now it's just another, oh, this is a cool title that we can throw on people just to say they've got a title and then never put them on TV. Nah, yep. I'm done. It's a shame.
Ridiculous, isn't it? So that's it. Unless you have anything you want to bring up, Carl, that's the ringside report for me.
No, nothing new for me.
Cool.